Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today, because we have got a guest on here that I actually know personally, and I've actually attended his church. He's a pastor. He's got an incredible testimony. He's got a long history of being a pastor. He's worked with a lot of different types of people over the years. He ran a class, what we called a legacy class. And his very first one, he invited me to be a part of, and I had the privilege of getting to be a part of that. And I will tell you guys that to some degree, part of me being on this podcast originated with me doing that legacy class, because one of the things it was to do was it was to help us to grow beyond where we were, to really start reaching people and leaving a legacy of Jesus to other people. So it helped me to do that. And so I wanted to promo that before we jump on here and I introduce him. So get your ears tuned in, sit back, relax. If you're driving, don't relax too much. But I want you guys to help me welcome to the show, Pastor Tim Estes. Pastor Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, T.S. Wright.
T.S. Wright on here, but hey, you know me, yeah, but on the show all we right. go TS, but you know off the air I'm Scott, and I'm okay. always going to be right. Scott.
I didn't want to spoil anything. But thank you for the kind words. My goodness, that's so kind of you. I do remember that class with just fantastic men, something I've done several times, and you were soaking it up, I could tell. And thank you for not just soaking it up, but doing something with it. So you're making a kingdom difference. I'm proud of you, and thank you for the opportunity to be here to share a little bit of my story, and Amen. I hope it's a blessing.
Yeah. I already know it's going to be, because I know some of that story, and our listeners are in for a real treat today. So you guys make sure you got those ears open and ready to go here for about the next 20, 25 minutes. All right. So Pastor Tim, why don't you share with the audience a little bit about your journey? You know, just talk about how God's impacted your story. I know you've got several pieces to your story, and there's a lot of parts for you personally. There's a lot of parts for you as a pastor, but I'm just going to open this up and let you kind of direct it how you want to go.
Awesome. Thank you. You can rein me in if I get over in the ditch somewhere. So it's fine. first of all, whatever I say, I want to just put the disclaimer that I'm not, against any denomination or group affiliation of any kind, but I am going to reference that because it's part of my story. I grew up in a Pentecostal pastor's home. My dad was a preacher, pastor for 30 years, actually, in the same church that I'm in. It was in a wonderful group of people, and yet it was a very legalistic group of people. The denomination had a lot of things in it. Prohibitions, let's say, that after I studied a while, I found out they were not necessarily scriptural, albeit, you know, if people have practices that they want to practice that are extra biblical, that's their business. But if we use those practices to say to people, if you don't do these, then you're not worthy of inheriting eternal life, so forth, that's where I had problem. It started when I was just very young. One of the prohibitions or rules that they had was that you couldn't play sports in a public setting or in an organized setting. And I know that's close to your heart because you've been a coach part of your life. But man, I was an athlete. I loved to play ball. and I worked at it every day. And the only thing is I could not play it in school. And my father wasn't being irrational or rude. That's what he grew up with. So these were his convictions that we shouldn't do that for whatever reasons. And they had a few scriptures that they used and I think twisted to fit the narrative. Nonetheless, I would beg my dad to let me play. On Friday nights, the football stadium was at the end of my street, so I could see the lights come on. I would practice with the team. Coach gave me the playbook. If you play, you're our starting quarterback, et cetera. And so I would ride my bicycle down there. I couldn't even go in the stadium. Stand there and watch through that chain link fence with tears running down my face. Because, you know, not understanding fully why I couldn't be in there, it just didn't make sense. That and many, many other things, lots of rules for women, jewelry, makeup, wearing slacks. Men couldn't have facial hair. And so I won't bore you with all the rules, but suffice it to say, I couldn't find that in scripture. I couldn't make it make sense. And so the older I got, the more I began to study God's word for myself. Because I saw that these rules were standing in the way of other people being saved. They would come to our church like our music. Everybody was friendly, but they weren't coming back because they saw this unspoken message that if you come here, you're going to be like this. Yeah. And if it was in the Bible, if it was what God intended, then I was all for it. However, I've studied and come to know grace. And what a blessing that is. And that's really the mantra of my life, is to preach about grace. So as time rolled along, in 2005, I left that organization. I had become the pastor of the church that my dad retired from, the lead pastor. And we were still part of that organization, had been since 1953. And so I told our church, I wrote a little expose at the time called The Premise of Change to explain to them that I wasn't losing my mind, but I was actually trying to become more in line with the Word of God.
Amen.
But it was not received well. And I admit that I didn't necessarily present it well. I did the best I could with what I had. Some people think you should make those transitions slower. I subscribe to the idea that you can either cut the dog's tail off inch at a time, or you can just get it all at once. So I kind of went with the all at once method.
Just get it over with.
Let's go. We're going to do it. Because I had studied for 2 or 3 years, my wife and I. So I was very convinced and had conviction about these things. So, but it was going to take a lot of time to help these people who had been rooted in this and believed this with all their heart. I came to them as gently as I could. Over time, we wound up losing from our assembly about 90% of them. They found themselves in other churches, which is great and something I'm forever grateful for. But then the Lord at the same time was replacing them with new people. And over time, we've seen the favor, blessing of God on our church. Amen. So, awesome thing.
Amen. And of course, you guys got a new church building, which is amazing. That whole story, how that came about. And I had the privilege of going to church there for a little over 2 years myself when I lived in Siloam Springs. Obviously, I don't live there anymore, and I live almost an hour away. So, we just, from a location standpoint, couldn't keep going, but man, right. I loved my time there.
Thank you.
And I will tell you guys, it was great. And one other thing I wanted to do is I wanted you to share a little bit about some of the elements of the legacy class, because there was so many things that we talked about, but some of those basic principles that you talked to us about, I think are so applicable to all of us. And we all need to hear some of those things presented in some different ways. That way we get off the couch, you know, people need to get off the couch, and we need to take our faith, and we need to take it to the world, because the world's not going to walk in your doors. You got to go to it. And so why don't you just talk a little bit about some of those principles from which you taught that class?
I'm happy to do so. Thank you. So the word legacy is really important to me, and it will become important to everybody at some point in their lives. The problem is most people wait too late to think about it. By the time it dawns on them that I'm going to leave some sort of legacy with my life, good or bad, most of them are scrambling to try to come up with something good to leave behind for their children or grandchildren. So the earlier you can get legacy in your mind, and as part of the warp and woof of your life, the better you're going to be. So that's the reason for the class. And the class had to do with just helping young men investigate some things about life that they might not think about otherwise. One of the things was just to think about your lifespan. That if God allows, according to the word, you know, we get 70 years, or by reason of strength, it says we get 80 years. Boy, when you're 15 years old, that sounds like you've got an eternity to live. But then 30 and 40 and 50 come along, and now I'm facing 60, looking at potentially the last decade or the last two decades of my life. When you grasp that early on, and then you sort of have a sense that every day, every moment, every month is so important. So I try to give them a grasp of time. I even took them down to the funeral home. We sat in the funeral home.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that?
I do.
Just try to bring a sobering thought there, not to be morbid, but to get a grasp of life. We talked about finances. One of the things that either enhances a life or becomes like what I call in premarital counseling a wet blanket is if you're in financial debt all your life. And I know some debt is good. You can follow the Dave Ramsey theory on that. But if you get encumbered with debt, it really does limit one's ability to reach and to leave great legacy. Those are things that are so important. Character is important. Integrity is important. These are the things that are easy to lose and very difficult to get back. Those kinds of things. The spouse you marry will be the second most important decision of your entire life. The first being to know Jesus, right?
Amen.
Give your heart to him. But secondly is the spouse that you marry. And I certainly give honor to my spouse who my pastor says I outpunted my coverage when I married her. And he's right. He's right. Trish is amazing. But a lot of guys.
And I got to throw in to you guys. It was during this legacy class that I married my now wife, Tina.
There you go.
So, and I way outpunted my coverage. So
that's good.
And so, yeah, she's.
You know, a lot of people get blinded in the dating process with all of the good, right? So everybody has a good side, and we're always putting our best foot forward, and we should. But then there's the reality of life that everybody has these flaws or weaknesses in our lives, and every home has the challenges of living and life, paying bills. The house gets dirty. The dishes have to be washed. The kids get sick. Somebody needs to go to school. And then there's the matter of in-laws. And so getting some wisdom and counsel on how to navigate all of that is so important, I think, early on, rather than just look at and be enamored by all of the good things, notwithstanding. So those are just some of the things, you know. I am a grace project myself, something that I'm not proud of, but something that I share from time to time because I'm not afraid to share it. I'm grateful to share it. That through the process of all of this legalism, I went through a real challenging time in my own life that led to a sinful place in my life. And I just thank God for really good people around who lifted and restored, and elders who came alongside and put me through that process more than 20 years ago. Amen. And since that time, I preached a message about the sword that David used to kill Goliath. You know, he knocked him down with a stone. We love to preach about it. But he literally took his head off with Goliath's own sword. And what a message that is, to think about maybe Goliath waking up that morning and sharpening that sword and thinking, you know, sometime today I'm going to take as many Israeli heads off as I can with this sword. And it wound up being his own demise.
Yeah.
And so my message of restoration to people and to ministers, and I've been blessed to speak into the lives of numerous ministries that otherwise would have fallen off the tracks and fallen by the wayside, especially in some denominations that have no grace whatsoever. My message has been, I'm going to take the sword that was meant to destroy me, and I'm going to use it on the enemy. And that's what I've done by the grace of God. So that's part of my story. And I put some of that in the book that I wrote a few years ago.
You know, I say this sometimes, if his goal was to choose perfect people to deliver his message, there'd be nobody to choose.
That's so true.
I mean, because you know, I can promise you guys out there that I have enough flaws to cover all of you.
Well, the Bible tells us, you know, exactly. All have sinned.
Exactly.
And fallen short of the glory of God. And in one of John's letters, he says, if any man says he has no sin, he's a liar.
Exactly.
Well, it's the very reason that Jesus came to the world, to pour out grace, to lift us as a Savior. Now, we like to say that grace is not a license to sin.
No.
And we think of Paul's words that says, should we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. And so grace is a great remedy for sin. It's the ladder out of the hole. It's the hand up. And praise be to God for churches that understand that and are patient with people. One of the keys to growth at New Life Church in Siloam Springs has been that we really focus on grace with people. And one of the things that I say is we do not measure one another by one another. And that's biblical as well. Like, we're not going to measure you by the person across the aisle. For one thing, the person across the aisle may have been reared in a Bible-believing home, had a Bible on every shelf, went to Sunday school. You may have come up on the rough side of the tracks with drug addicts as parents. And so that comparison would be completely unfair.
Yeah.
And sanctification is God's work, not man's.
That's right.
So sanctification is the process of grace. We're saved by grace in a moment, but sanctification and on into discipleship is the work of a lifetime. And the church that understands that and doesn't compare and lets people grow at their own rate, you know, in our home, we have a little board on the back wall by the refrigerator. My grandchildren come in every year. We just did it about 2 weeks ago. They get back against that little board, and we draw a line on the board where their head is. And this year, every one of them grew about 5-6 inches. But not everybody grows at the same rate.
No.
Everybody grows differently. And so if we expect everybody to be the same, look the same, cookie-cutter religion, I call it, that is so unfair and so legalistic. We should let grace have its perfect work in the church and in the lives of people and let God be the judge. Amen. It's a great key for pastors right there.
Amen. You know, we one of the things, too, that I do with our discipleship plans is that a lot of times I will talk to those people if they're going to be in our groups that where we're doing face-to-face stuff. And there's been times when, you know, I've encouraged somebody to really think about the process of discipleship. And are you ready for this? You know, what I have done before in the past is I said, look, I can give you some stuff to help you prepare to start to do this. And then you join this a little bit later and you're in a better spot. Because here's what I tell people in discipleship, we're growing you to share your faith and to make more disciples. And I'm going to promise you, when you get to this last phase of this, carrying the message, you're going to get attacked in ways that you can't imagine.
That's true.
If you are not prepared for that, your world will crumble fast. Because the enemy, when you start trying to bring other people into God's kingdom, the enemy's coming at you.
He hates it.
He's coming full force.
He hates
it. And you have to be prepared for that. I can tell you, ever since about 2023, when I started podcasting, I have had more things come against me in the last 2.5-3 years than almost combined another 20.
So, yes, sir.
I mean, it is.
And that's a great segue to say, I would encourage people to pray for their pastors.
Amen.
You know, I live in that world, and pastors are high targets.
Yes.
The stress, the strain, the pull, and the enemy is just every day relentless. So praise God for the people. And I have many people that come up to me and say, hey, Pastor Tim, we pray for you every day. Oh, what a blessing. I mean, Amen. There's not a better gift in all the world.
Amen.
So I'm grateful for that. I'm here because of that. But you're exactly right. That's how it rolls. You better be armed and ready.
And part of our discipleship process and the books that we've written, and you and I have talked about this, is that I help people prepare for that. I would say that 75 to 80, maybe 85% of it is the preparation to be able to share, is getting you ready to be able to handle what's going to come at you. Quite frankly, I can teach you in one day how to evangelize. That's not hard. It's can you handle everything else that's going to come with it? So
that's right.
Yeah. And it's so true. Yep. So good. Let's talk about your book. I want you to get into that before we run out of time here.
Okay.
And so give us a little bit of insight into the book, what believers might be, what our audience here be like, hey, why should I get this book? And then, kind of list out some things that might be very interesting to them for them to, hey, I'm going to get this on Audible, or I'm going to pick this thing up on Amazon or whatever. I need to give this a good read.
So I'll show you the book. This is the book. Can you see it? Grace Morse.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there.
The Pastor's Perfect. Journey from Legalism to Grace.
Amen.
And you can buy that on Amazon. And it's a little bigger than I intended it to be. Hopefully I'll do another a revision on it at some point. But here's why I wrote it. I wrote it as an answer to the people that I knew would be critical of my journey. And there were many critics. I don't even have time to go into that. But I wanted them to know I hadn't fallen off the wagon. I hadn't, lost my mind. Everything I was doing was scriptural. And so as far as this transition from legalism to grace and leaving a denomination, going non-denominational, again, with all due respect to every denomination, it's not about that. But so the first part of the book really tells my own story. And then into the middle part of the book, it begins to look at scriptures as to why the scriptures they use to forbid certain practices that I enumerated at the beginning were taken out of context and tweaked and twisted. Like they would lift one verse out of Leviticus and try to make it a New Testament thing and forget all of the verses above and below it.
And you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You
cannot do that. So I rectified that. Then the last of the book really tries to bring the theme of how that circumcision in the New Testament church was the biggest issue there. And it was an issue of outward works. If there ever was one, circumcision was it. Well, the Judaizers, they were all about it. You can't be saved without it. And here comes Paul along preaching a New Testament message that there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision with God, that God's looking on the inward man, not on the outward appearance. That message is all the way through the scripture. God's not measuring us by whether we have a mustache or our hem length touches our knee or any of those other frivolous things that we used to think would endanger us eternally. And so I use circumcision as a baseline to show over and over that it's not about the outward. It's completely about the relational aspect with God and what grace is for and how grace works. So that's really it. It's a little bit of my journey coming through that, and it's been well received by most. So been freeing to a lot of people.
Amen. Amen. So Pastor Tim, if we want to get our hands on this book, how can we do that?
Yeah, you could order it through our church if you want to do that. Post office box 945 Siloam Springs. Or you can go on Amazon and just look up Grace Morph, Pastor's Journey from Legalism to Grace. It's by Xulon Press, Xulon. And my pastor wrote the introduction in it, Bishop Ron Lyles from Fort Worth, great man of God. And I'd be honored if it would help somebody in the kingdom. That's Amen. What it's all about. Yeah.
Amen. And if somebody wants to learn more about your church, where can they do that?
Yeah, they can go to nlcss.com, like New Life Church, Siloam Springs, Nancy, Larry, Charlie, Sam, .com, and that'll take you to our website. On Sundays at 9 and 11, you can come on and watch it live. and we're having people from various places that are tuning in and watching. It's a magnificent place. It's a miracle place, honestly. I'll end up with this, that there was a prophecy given years ago by a man who was dying, called me to his bedside, and he said, "I saw the new church you were going to build." Took us 15 years to get to that place. You know that story.
I know that story, Sam.
Very frustrating. And he said, "I saw in this vision a bridge coming over to the church property and cars, car lights coming over the bridge, et cetera." And I said, well, Brad, I don't know what that is. There's not a bridge. We don't have much property out there, but I receive it. Time goes by. The fire station builds across the road from us. Their ambulances are getting out. They hit a railroad crossing. The state and the city come in, build a bridge that comes right to our church property that we bought. When you come over that bridge, you're looking straight into the front doors of our church, a true miracle and a true prophetic work.
Amen and amen. So, guys, I actually attended this church for a little over 2 years myself. And you know what? You guys give it a check out. I also know that his sermons, you can go on YouTube. And if I'm not mistaken, your sermons on Sunday are on YouTube, correct?
They're on the website. Either
one. Oh, they're on the website. Okay.
Yeah, on the website.
Gotcha.
And the Facebook page, like go to Facebook Live, New Life Church, Siloam Springs. That's where you can watch live. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. So it's Facebook then. All right.
Facebook Live. Yes.
Facebook Live. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I will get this all in the show notes. We'll make sure everybody has all this information and they can access that. And we are so looking forward to, I'm looking forward to the fact that you guys are hearing this, the day this show's released, I'm actually going to try to be over at the church that day.
Come on. So
that's going to be we're going to try to make that happen. And that's going to be kind of a fun day. And hey, so you guys will be listening to the show. You'll know I'll be inside that church for that day, listening to the sermon and the music and getting a chance. I haven't been in the new building as far as to listen to a worship service. So I wanted to be able to take the time to do that. Pastor Tim, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for being a faithful man of God and leading this church for as long as you have done so and continuing to be a blessing to the Siloam Springs community. And so on behalf of myself and everyone here, and actually on behalf of myself and Pastor Tim, I'm going to sign out like I always do. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.